This morning we read in Matthew's Gospel. It is a very familiar story. As you know, David and I were blessed to be in Jerusalem in January. And so as I read this part of the Bible today, everything is coming more clear and more wonderful. People said it would be that way. If you go to Israel, if you go to Jerusalem, you won't ever be able to read the Bible again without it even being richer, even being nicer. And that's truly the case. So with excitement, I can tell you, David and I walked the same streets that Jesus came in on. This is Matthew 21. This is the first 11 verses. By the way, the group we went with is going again in 2 years. They're a great bunch of folks. Talk to me. I will get you the right names. As Jesus and his disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives. There Jesus sent two of the disciples on ahead with these instructions. Go to the village there ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied up with her colt beside her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything, tell him, the master needs them, and then he will let them go at once. This happened in order to make come true what the prophet had said. Tell the city of Zion, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble and rides on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did what Jesus had told them to do. They brought the donkey and the colt, threw their cloaks over them, and Jesus got on. A large crowd of people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds walking in front of Jesus and those walking behind began to shout, "Praise to David's son. God bless him who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise be to God." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was thrown into an uproar. "Who is he?" the people asked. "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee," the crowds answered. The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, in the reading and telling of the story once again, it never gets old. What an amazing day that must have been. Would you come in these next moments as we talk about it and help us to maybe have a little bit of the awe and wonder of that exciting day. So help us now to learn, to be encouraged, to be strengthened. In your name, Jesus, we pray. There was a little boy. It was Palm Sunday, and he stayed home from church with his mother because he was sick. And his father went to church like usual. And when his father returned home, he had a palm branch in his hand. And the little boy, being curious, he asked, "Dad, why do you have the palm branch?" And Dad told him, "You see, when Jesus came into town, everyone waved palm branches to honor him. So we got palm branches today." And the little boy with a sad face looked at his dad and says, "Oh, shucks, the one Sunday I stay home and Jesus comes to town." I kind of hope that that's the feeling that we have whenever we come to church, that we found Jesus there, that we didn't miss it, Today is Palm Sunday, and as you've read from the Gospels, there was a whole city that threw a parade for him, for just one man. The people, of course, threw palm branches on the roads in front of the donkey. It was a sign of welcoming royalty. They understood that Jesus was the king. And so because they were throwing palms, oh, they put their coats on the road also, but because they were throwing palms, that's why it became known as Palm Sunday. It was a celebration. It was a time of worshiping Jesus, praising Jesus. But as we know, because we've read the rest of the story, Palm Sunday was sort of bittersweet, wasn't it? Because Friday was coming. The cross was coming. And we also know that in that same crowd of those people who were excitedly worshiping the Lord and crying out, Hosanna, that there would be some just a few days later that would be calling for his death. I wonder, what's your earliest memory of Easter, the Easter season in the church you attended? You know, maybe yours is similar to mine. It was what, with great joy, we just did with the children. You would come to the church on those Sundays and you'd wait in the back, and then everybody had palms, and then just when the music started and the cue was given, you could parade around church. And when I was a child, I thought, you know, those were really fun days in church. Jesus was coming from Jericho. He was on his way to Jerusalem. It would take about 6 to 8 hours for him to walk those 15 miles. And it would be a bit of work because when they talk about the phrase of going up to Jerusalem, it's very true. Every road that leads into Jerusalem is uphill all the way as you come into town. According to the traditional account, Jesus and the disciples traveled on the Friday before Palm Sunday. They wanted to get to Bethany before nightfall and the beginning of Sabbath because that road, they knew, as soon as it got dark, the robbers would come out. They would celebrate the Sabbath in Bethany. Sabbath, of course, Friday at sundown till Saturday at sundown. And those who have looked at this and studied this, they really believe that there was a pretty good crowd with Jesus, his closest followers. On Sunday morning, Jesus talks to his disciples. He said he needs to make preparations for his entry into Jerusalem, and he sends two of them to a place not too far away called Bethpage. And he said, I want you to go there, and there'll be a donkey and a colt, and just go and bring them back. If anybody asks why you're taking them, just tell them the master needs it. Which is a bit of a puzzle for us, isn't it? Because Jesus has just walked those 15 miles. Matter of fact, Jesus walked everywhere he went, didn't he? And so now, why ride into Jerusalem that last mile on a donkey? But if you know your Old Testament, and you know the customs of the day, royalty rode on donkeys when they came into cities. And it was an indication from Old Testament prophecy that this person would be the righteous Davidic Messiah. And so Jesus was fulfilling prophecy from the prophet Zechariah. prophecy of a messianic king who came to liberate his people. So listen to this. This is Zechariah 9:9-10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. The crowds would be excited to see someone riding like that into town. But, you know, they had their own set of expectations of who this king would be. And it didn't exactly fit who Jesus was. Anybody here ever seen the movie Frozen? If you're a parent or a grandparent, raise your hand, because you have many times. Well, then you will know that Prince Hans shows up in the story. He's riding on a magnificent horse, and Princess Anna is smitten. This is the kind of man she is looking for, clean-cut, well-dressed, a man with impeccable manners. And yet he's going to turn out to be not a good man. You know who the good man was? Was a mountain man. His name was Christoph. He slept in barns. He probably hadn't taken a bath for a while. He was a man that rode around on the back of a reindeer named Sven. But he was a man of great caring. He's the man that in Frozen turns out to be the hero. And from that we learn that sometimes it's the least likely looking one that is the true hero. And Jesus paraded into Jerusalem. He would be ushered in as a leader, but he would be a leader that's different than what the crowd was expecting. Zechariah's prophecy said that the Messiah would come as the righteous one who offers salvation, not a conquering military leader. The Messiah would come with reconciliation, as did rulers who sometimes rode donkeys in times of peace. And so in and through this event, Jesus is showing that he is not coming to be a great general of the army. He's coming because his victory, the greatest victory ever, will come by way of being nailed to the cross. The two disciples do go. They bring the donkey and the colt back with them. And we have to think, boy, whoever the owner of those animals was, they really must have had a lot of trust. It would be the same if you or I went to somebody we didn't know at all and say, please, can I have your car? What would you say? But then again, why should we be surprised that this story says that there's a donkey, there's a colt, it's going to be here, you should go get it, the owner will give it away? Because why should we be surprised? Because God always works things out in great detail. Jesus rides into the town, it's a large crowd. People were shouting blessings. They were shouting Old Testament phrases, Hosanna. They were waving these palm branches. They put them on the road. Their coats came off and they were there. You know, when they have the award shows, what do they roll out? The red carpet. Jesus' red carpet was made out of palm branches and the coats of the ones that wanted to worship him. Oh, that you and I would have that same kind of enthusiasm. That just the presence of Jesus in our midst would cause us to worship him. I've talked to some people, they tell me they had to learn the hard way. They would go to church on Sundays, they would go to other church activities, and they would go because they should go. And then, as they really met Jesus, the Savior, then it all changed. They were excited about going to the church activities. They were excited about going to church itself. Why? They knew that Jesus was all around, but they knew that he would show up in maybe bigger and special ways in their friends and family in the church. I wonder on Sunday mornings when people wake up, are they excited to come to church? Took me 33 years. So if it isn't there yet for you, don't give up. When you think about Jesus, maybe it's because you're alone in the car and no one else is around, or maybe it's at the house when there's only a few people around. When you think about Jesus, do you sing hymns? Do you sing praise choruses to him? Do you look for opportunities to give thanks to God? And really, what does praise the Lord mean to you? What in your experience, if you've had one, would be similar to spreading your coat out for Jesus to walk on? You see, our worship should include both praise and action through physical expression. The original language said the crowd was a very great multitude. And so let me talk about the opportunities that you and I have every once in a while to go to a large gathering Christians. And I want to urge you to think about going. There's a men's thing down in Milwaukee that Stuart Briscoe got started a while ago. And then there were some things that happen in different denominations. There's a wonderful Holy Spirit conference every year over at Green Lake. The center over there. Barbie and I and the girls, we would always go to the Aldersgate Conference in the summers. They were very rich times, gatherings of hundreds and sometimes thousands of Christians. Oh, let me tell you, what an encouragement that is to your own faith when you realize that you're a part of something that is so great. It's times of refreshing. I've never had anyone that has gone to a big conference, a big Christian conference, for one reason or another, and then they came back and said, boy, was that a bummer. There was a huge crowd in Jerusalem. Every once in a while, I think you and I would benefit by being a part of a huge crowd. What were they saying that day? Verse 9 in the NIV gives it better than the good news. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. The crowd was saying that day and using those words, this is the long-awaited Messiah. He is surely coming as king. He will liberate us from Rome. And the crowd was correct. They saw Jesus as the fulfillment of the prophecies of the Old Testament. And yes, he was going to liberate them from Rome, but not the way they thought. He wasn't going to drive the Romans out of the city. As a matter of fact, he was coming with something so much greater. You and I can live in the oppression of a government or a situation or whatever have you, when we have the joy down in our soul, as the song goes, of knowing that eternal life is ours because of Jesus. The crowd expected Jesus to be some kind of a national leader. And then later on that week, when some people began to realize that no, Jesus wasn't the military person that they were hoping for, they were part of the crowd that, when given the choice to set him free or not, yelled loudly, "Crucify him." So let me finish this morning with a realization that when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, he stirred up the whole city. I hope you don't settle in today. See, you'll be here. Hopefully you'll stay for breakfast. Maybe you'll be so excited you'll come back for second service. And then you'll go home and have lunch, and then you'll settle in. And I really, really, really hope that doesn't happen today on Palm Sunday. That there is a, that instead there will be a stirring in your heart and your mind. That this is a day of great, great celebration. Because Jesus had come. This prophet of Nazareth in Galilee. And the prophet was the very Son of God, was the Messiah. We need to remember and realize that when Jesus came to earth, it was not an afterthought on God's part. It was all part of the plan that was developed and set in motion and was in place before the creation of this world. And Jesus was the very man that the city was waiting for. No wonder they were excited. I hope we are. And Jesus, he just rode quietly into town on the back of a donkey. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may we always be ready to welcome the Messiah into our town, into our lives, into our hearts. We pray and ask these things in the name of that very same Christ, the one from Nazareth of Galilee. Amen and amen.